It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 113 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Just a few more weeks here until the 2018 X-Wing World Championship, so we're continuing our series here, looking at each of the different factions going into the World Championship.
This week we're going to be looking into the strengths the Imperial faction is going to be bringing to the World Championship.
And even if you're not able to attend the World Championship, store championships are right around the corner, and a lot of the lists we see at the World Championships are going to set the tone for the coming X-Wing season.
Absolutely. You'll be seeing these list types for a while now. And I think the Imperials are bringing some pretty exciting lists to the table here, so let's get to it.
So we've broken our analysis of the Imperial faction into kind of three main categories here. We're first going to start by looking at a lot of the best pilots that the Imperials have. Then we're going to look at one of the key upgrade cards that is exclusive to the Imperial faction. And then we're going to end it all by looking at the main Imperial list archetypes that we'll see at the World Championships.
Yeah, and I know we got a good pilot to start off with, Tim. What's at the top of your list?
Well, I think it's at the top of a lot of people's list. This is a ship that we've seen a lot of different list archetypes here. We're talking about Quick Draw, the TIE SF pilot.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. When the ship first came out, I would not have ever expected it to be topping any Imperial list, but it's become just quite a staple in so many different lists. Really enables quite a variety of different types of play. Just such a versatile ship, so many different ways you can load it out, and it's been a pretty relevant meta force for quite a while now. It's definitely solidified its place at the top for the Imperials.
Well, and when you really dig into what Quickdraw has going for here, you see that there's a lot of factors here contributing to why Quickdraw is so popular. Much like we see in Captain Nim, a lot of the strength comes from just a great selection of upgrades thanks to a great selection of upgrade slots. We don't actually see a lot of variance within those upgrade slots, but we're seeing some of the best upgrade cards available in the game accessible on Quickdraw. Things like Fire Control System.
It's a good one.
Getting you target locks for a very low point cost. New cards like Advanced Optics, where you're able to hold on to those focus tokens, gives you really good action economy. And then even tie-only upgrade cards like Lightweight Frame bolsters your defense at a pretty low point cost.
Yeah, it's got a pretty solid core of upgrades with some flexibility in the missile slot and in the elite pilot talent slot.
And that flexibility enables Quickdraw to be loaded out at, you know, a pretty wide range of point values. We see Quickdraws loaded out in the low to mid 30-point range all the way up to the mid 40-point range. And really, you can just create a Quickdraw that suits any slot you have in any list, really.
And the why of why you're bringing Quickdraw into your list is the ship does some damage, quite a bit. That ability of when you lose a shield, you get to perform a primary attack on top of whatever attack you already got that turn, creates some really high spike damage potential. In X-Wing, getting multiple attacks a turn is just so powerful because it allows you, your first attack can get through your opponent's defense a little bit, wear them down. That second attack usually connects a lot harder. And this pilot ability just really enables you to deal a massive amount of modified damage because you're getting those passive mods from all those upgrade cards earlier mentioned.
Well, and Quickdraw really stands out from other Imperial aces, where Quickdraw is very much a damage-oriented ace, and a lot of the value of Quickdraw is trying to get damage out quickly and early on in a game, which is kind of contrary to what we've come to expect from Imperial aces in the past.
Traditional Imperial aces want the game to drag out as long as possible. Each turn, their ship's still alive. That's another turn they move slightly ahead in advantage. Quickdraw is much more of like a tempo-orientated ship. It's going to pick some key turns, get in the right position, set up those optimal attacks, and it needs to eliminate a ship here and now when it's using that limited pilot ability because it only has a limited amount of shields.
One thing that is actually really nice about Quickdraw's pilot ability is it kind of serves a dual purpose. This is something I've seen in my use of Quickdraw, where that ability where once per round you lose a shield, you're able to perform an attack. It allows you to deal out massive, heavily modified damage. Typically, you'll get a lot of modification from things like Advanced Optics or Fire Control System. So you can deal out that massive damage in a single round, but at the same time, if your opponent opts not to shoot Quickdraw, that ability is also working as a damage deterrent against Quickdraw.
Yeah, I've definitely had a few turns where I've chosen not to shoot my ship for fear of a Quickdraw activation in return.
And that can create a pretty interesting late-game scenario where most of the time Quickdraw's really focused on getting a lot of damage out early on. If you're able to deal out just a little bit of consistent damage early on, but still have a full-up Quickdraw when you enter the late game, Quickdraw's a very strong ship to have in an X-Wing late game.
It also comes in at pilot skill 9 and has some flexibility in its elite pilot talent slot. It can take adaptability or veteran instincts to go up to 10 or 11, which can be pretty handy if you're trying to out pilot skill ships like Captain Nim so that you can fire your harpoon missile first.
Or you can opt to just keep your pilot skill at 9, use that elite pilot talent for something else. Even at just pilot skill 9, you're by default beating out a lot of other popular ships like Miranda Donnie, the Inquisitor, or expertise variant of Rey, or a push the limit variant of Nora Wexley, where all those pilot skills are going to drop below you. You're just going to have an inherent advantage there.
While exceptional in quite a bit of areas, Quickdraw is not without a few weaknesses, though. Particularly twin laser turrets are a pretty effective way to get through Quickdraw's defense.
And this is kind of a big problem because twin laser turrets, one of the most popular upgrade cards in the game, a very powerful upgrade card, and Quickdraw is particularly vulnerable to twin laser turret due to Quickdraw does not have a native boost action and therefore can't have cards like auto thrusters to make your defense more reliable against turret shots. And Quickdraw with that lightweight frame and just usually a single focus token for defense is going to take damage over time to a weight of attack dice. Multiple smaller shots will deal damage to Quickdraw over time.
And as you are an arced ship, you do still need your arc on the enemy to be able to fire and threaten your pilot ability. So if someone's able to get higher pilot skill than Quickdraw, well, maybe you deserve it, but then they're able to outposition you. And you might miss arc on some key opportunities.
Well, and I think Quickdraw really suffers there. If you don't have a shot and you start losing shields, you're not getting the value of Quickdraw's pilot ability. And if you're not getting the value of Quickdraw's pilot ability, that Quickdraw is going to fall apart pretty quickly, not dealing out the damage you need to take your opponent's ships off the board.
Yeah, so it does have a few weaknesses, but overall just that high damage and great selection of upgrade cards makes the ship a very powerful and versatile option for the Imperials. A clear number one.
Another ship that is very popular, and almost surprisingly so, given that we live in a very bomb-heavy era of X-Wing, is the Inquisitor in the TIE Advanced prototype.
And this is actually my favorite of the Imperial ships we're going to mention today. It's just a lot of fun to fly. This is that more traditional Imperial ace, which I really enjoy that playstyle. What the Inquisitor brings that separates it from all the other traditional Imperial aces is that threat of consistent damage, which pairs very well with its high defense.
And while we see a fair bit of variance in the loadouts for Quickdraw, we see very little variance in the loadouts for the Inquisitor. You're almost always going to see an Inquisitor loaded out with Push the Limit to get that really good action economy, that TIE V1 title to get those free evades when you get target locks, and then, of course, the Auto Thrusters modification to give you more reliable defense, particularly against turrets.
Yeah, with 3 green dice, Focus Token, Evade Token, and Auto Thrusters, this ship has a pretty decent chance to completely dodge a harpoon missile.
Which is really important now. We live in an X-Wing era where you have to be able to deal with ships dealing out bombs, and you do have to deal with ships, even lists carrying multiple harpoon missiles. And being able to evade even a single harpoon missile is a big feat there, and will enable you to get the advantage long-term if you can make your opponent waste that piece of ordnance.
But with only 2 hit points, and particularly 2 hull points, the Inquisitor is pretty vulnerable to bombs. If your opponent's launching proton bombs, just one direct hit could instantly destroy your Inquisitor. And those bomblet bombs are not great either.
Having had a decent amount of experience with the Inquisitor this past season, I can tell you one of the scariest things I could see is any kind of trajectory simulator ship. It doesn't even really matter what kind of bomb they're carrying. It really makes you have to think as an Inquisitor player where you're still arc dependent and you need to be taking shots, but you also have to be very wary of those bombs because your whole strategy can fall apart pretty quickly if you lose your Inquisitor to a nasty bomb drop.
But it's so fun to fly, it's probably worth the risk. Imperial players are also quite frequently electing to take Captain Yor, which I think says a lot about the current state of the meta we're in.
Yeah, Captain Yor is being used as a popular Palpatine crew carrier and has become really important in the metagame right now. Captain Yor's ability, of course, when another friendly ship at range 1 to 2 would receive a stress token. If you have 2 or fewer stress tokens, you may receive that token instead.
Yeah, so a very good pilot ability if you're in a stress-heavy meta, which we absolutely are. We've mentioned, Asajj as one of the key scum ships, dealing out stress tokens every turn. pretty good at turning off the expertise that, you know, Quickdraw definitely likes. And when we get to the Rebel faction, oh boy, is there a lot of stress over there. So Captain Yor is a very nice insurance policy against all of that. Keeps the stress off your aces, and the Lambda doesn't care too much about actions.
And a lot of Imperial aces are quite vulnerable to those stress-dealing effects from other lists. The Inquisitor, of course, with Push the Limit, is really terrified of getting a second stress token and getting action locked. And even ships like Kylo Ren using that Push the Limit and Advanced Sensor synergy, if you get a stress token, even if you already cleared one in the turn, that's going to prevent you from using those Advanced Sensors the following turn.
And Captain Yor is not too pricey of a Lambda, so you don't really have to break the bank when you upgrade from a Omicron Group pilot to Captain Yor to get that nice stress defense, and you still have a decent amount of points left for your other ships.
Yeah, the price difference between Omicron Group pilot and Captain Yor is only 3 points, so it's really not going to break the bank there. You do have some flexibility in a lot of these Imperial lists where you can take that added cost there to get that added effect. And honestly, having Captain Yor at pilot skill 4 isn't bad either. Firing at that slightly higher pilot skill means you're going to slip in above things like pilot skill 1 TIE Defenders and pilot skill 2 New Squadron Alpha Class Starwings.
Moving along, we also have the TIE Defenders. Quite a variety of options there as far as pilot choices go, but we're frequently seeing just a lot of the Defender chassis.
Yeah, and the Defender ship is a pretty good chassis right now for a lot of different reasons. One of the main reasons being it's very resilient even to things like Twin Laser Turret. You've got a high number of defense dice there, native 3 defense dice. If you're using the TIE X7 title, you're going to have access to both a Focus and Evade most turns. And that means you're pretty resilient to Twin Laser Turret shots. You've got a lot of defense dice there, a decent amount of modification. And even if you do get hit a couple times, you have 6 hit points total, so you're going to be able to endure at least a couple shots. For the same reason, they're actually also resilient to harpoon missiles.
Yeah, I mean, those X7 variants with the Focus and Evade token at 3 green dice have a decent chance at dodging a harpoon missile. And if they don't completely dodge it, they still do have 6 hit points, so it's not going to be a complete tragedy if they do get hit by the harpoon missile. One of the things I think that's pretty interesting about the TIE Defenders is right now we're seeing pretty solid use out of both TIE X7 and the TIE D titles. You know, some players are opting for that high defensive TIE X7, but other players want the double attack from the TIE D. And I think that's particularly interesting with the TIE Ds because it's really just those control cannons. You have, you know, the tractor beam cannon, flechette cannon, or ion cannon, or of course jamming beam. But looking at, you know, tractor beam cannon or ion cannon against those low agility ships, which are pretty common right now, especially in the Rebel faction, those things are going to be pretty effective. And I think a lot of players are seeing success because of that.
Well, and if you're going the TIE D route, of course, you've got pilots like Colonel Vessery who can get target locks if the enemy ship's already target locked. It's not terribly hard to get your enemy ship target locked thanks to things like long-range scanners on an Alpha-class Starwing, or even ships like Quickdraw who gets target locks from Fire Control System. Colonel Vessery's ability is pretty easy to use consistently, and getting that target lock modification on both of Colonel Vessery's shots means using those control cannons, you're going to get a lot of reliability out of there. If you're going more the TIE X7 route, you have options, of course, like Countess Riad, who can change any of her straight maneuvers into K-turn maneuvers. This is actually pretty good, even though Countess Riad comes in at pilot skill 5. This repositioning ability is pretty effective against a lot of the more predictable builds we're seeing, like the Rebel Bunker builds, where they're not going to be doing any crazy maneuvering. You're pretty much going to know where they're going to end up. You just have to be able to deal with all the different synergies they've got going on.
And continuing on, we have Kylo Ren in the TIE Silencer. Definitely the most mobile ship in the game, with all those green maneuvers, all the way up to 5 straight. When you pair that with Push the Limit and Advanced Sensors, very good. Coming in at pilot skill 9 for Kylo Ren. Really good repositioning capabilities, which means you probably want a little bit of bid to leverage that pilot skill 9 repositioning.
Yeah, Kylo's one of those ships that's pretty much good at most anything in the game of X-Wing, but that does come at a pretty substantial point cost, and you really are depending on having that high pilot skill 9 be the dominant pilot skill. The key upgrade synergy that Kylo Ren uses is a combination of the Advanced Sensors system upgrade along with the Push the Limit Elite Pilot talent. You can use that Advanced Sensors to take an action before you move. Then, after that action, Push the Limit to take a second action, receive a stress token, and then, if you performed a green maneuver, immediately clear that stress token. This gives Kylo Ren some pretty crazy repositioning abilities, thanks to the TIE Silencer having access to both the boost and barrel roll actions natively. if you're the highest pilot skill ship on the board, you can really actively react to whatever maneuvers your opponent uses and always try to avoid those firing arcs.
When you mentioned his points as kind of a inhibitor, but I actually think that that's a bit of a benefit for Kylo Ren. Just being able to hold on to so many points in such a ship that's so hard for your opponent to remove means, you know, when you come to time, this ship is probably going to keep you ahead.
Yeah, a lot of the popular Kylo Ren builds come in pretty close to 50 points, so that's a pretty substantial investment. But it's true, like you're saying, if you are able to take that ship all the way to the end game, you can often just win out by having that many points left on the board.
Yeah, you just have to make sure your Kylo Ren costs more than their Miranda.
The other area that Kylo Ren really suffers too is when you're dealing with a lot of higher pilot skill ships. You do have a decent amount of durability against bombs, but you can suffer long-term against ships like Captain Nim, where your ability to react using that advanced sensors and push the limit combo doesn't really help you that much if you're moving before your opponent.
Although maybe you can trigger his pilot ability and give them a pilot skill zero crit to fix that problem.
Yeah, that is the icing on the cake, is Kylo Ren, of course, can deal out the I'll show you the dark side condition where you can go select a pilot crit in your opponent's deck and then set it up on one of their ships, whatever ship damaged you first. And as soon as they take a critical damage, they're going to suffer that crit underneath their shields.
Continuing the Kylo Ren theme, up next we have Rear Admiral Chernu, who is probably most notable for carrying Kylo Ren. The ship has a really high hit point threshold, making it really resilient to things like bombs. It can even survive a few harpoon missiles thrown into it, and deals out a pretty high amount of damage in return.
And I think Rear Admiral Chernu now has three really great things going for it. First, it's a Kylo Ren carrier, so you can carry that Kylo Ren crew card, where as an action, you can use that I'll show you the dark side condition and set up those really powerful pilot criticals like Blinded Pilot or Damaged Cockpit and try and ruin the synergies of a lot of other popular combos like Miranda and Captain Nim.
Yeah, and then the other two things it has going for it are those other two crew slots dedicated to Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, it is a strong Palpatine carrier. It is a fair bit more expensive than a Lambda-class shuttle, but having access to Emperor Palpatine, oftentimes Rear Admiral Chernows are paired up with something like a Quick Draw or an Inquisitor. Being able to get that extra modification from Palpatine is really important. The actual third thing I was going to talk about was that Rear Admiral Chernow ability, being able to change a focus result to a critical result when you're attacking a ship at range 1 to 2. This is actually a great way to reliably trigger harpoon conditions. So having access to that means you're going to be able to get that extra damage from those harpoon conditions a lot more reliably.
Or I'll show you the dark side conditions. Pretty easy to trigger there. But you don't even need his pilot ability if you use Palpatine.
That's fair. That's fair.
You can get two crits. That sounds fun.
Another very popular Imperial ship that has kind of taken on a new form, at least a cheaper form here, is Omega Leader.
Yeah, this ship saw kind of a surprising resurgence. I mean, maybe not surprising because it's just such a powerful control ability. That combat control ability can just shut down so much modification. All of it. It shuts down all of it.
Omega Leader's pilot ability, of course, enemy ships that you have locked cannot modify any dice when attacking you or defending against your attacks.
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, those Rear Admiral Chernus with a lot of modification, or looking at the Rebel faction, Miranda's, Ghosts, or even, you know, shutting down Asajj's, can be all very powerful. And what's nice about Omega Leader now is with advanced optics, it has options to even more points efficient builds. Come in even cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, the classic Omega Leader build was the Juke Elite Pilot Talent and then the Comm Relay to hold on to your evade tokens. Nowadays, we're seeing a lot of Omega Leaders use a Score to Settle, which is a free Elite Pilot Talent that gives you some modification against a specific ship, as well as Advanced Optics, which is 1 point cheaper than Comm Relay at just 2 points there. You can get Omega Leaders that are pretty effective at just 23 squad points.
That's a steal.
Well, and I think the real reason that we're seeing this kind of Omega Leader slip in there is it's really effective against Ghost builds with a docked shuttle where they're going to be getting, you know, two volleys of twin laser turret in a round. Being able to target lock that single ship, often that's one of two ships in the list effectively, means you're going to deny all kinds of modification on all those twin laser turret shots, which makes it a lot harder for that ship to deal damage out against Omega Leader. And at the same time, Omega Leader's going to be able to deal out pretty good damage consistently, even with just two attack dice against that zero agility Ghost.
Yeah, those crits are going to add up. Another really efficient option for the Imperials are those Alpha-class Starwings. These are probably the pinnacle of efficiency for the Empire. I mean, coming in at just 18 points for a new squadron means you can get a Harpoon missile plus long-range scanners for just 22 points. That's super efficient. And you can get a pretty decent Rogue Squadron veteran for just a few more points on top of that.
Yeah, you've got a pretty wide point range here. You can load out these Alpha-class Starwings. Kind of baseline we'll see is those Harpooners at 22, but you can even get some really fancy, very powerful cannon-bearing ships at the low to mid 30-point range. Just a lot of great options here on the Alpha-class Starwing chassis. In general, they just have a really good damage output for that low point cost, and they're just very effective Harpoon missile carriers, which Harpoon missiles have become one of the most important upgrade cards in the game, so having access to a really efficient platform to carry them is a huge asset to the Imperial faction.
Yeah, and with such flexibility in squad points, these things can fit so nicely into so many squads. You know, you can take two or three of them and have a pretty dedicated Harpoon list, or You can just fit one in pretty easily to a lot of other existing archetypes.
The last pilot we're going to talk about here isn't quite as popular as the other choices, but is actually a very valuable option for the Imperial faction to have.
Yeah, Countdown is just really great at filling that last slot you have in a list. If you don't quite have points for an Alpha-class Starwing, Countdown gives you a pretty great option there. It's got enough survivability with that pilot ability to make it not a liability in the points you invest into it.
But even if your opponent chooses to focus down Countdown, given that Countdown's so inexpensive, it's usually not that big of a loss for you to lose that ship first.
Yeah, and with that pilot ability to just turn a whole attack into one damage and take a stress means your opponent's really going to have to invest a lot of resources to take down your 20-point ship. And it's still got three attack dice, so if they ignore it, it'll do a decent amount of damage over the course of the game.
So honestly, looking at these Imperial pilots here, we actually have a decent number of strong and diverse options in this faction. Obviously, we've got superstars like Quickdraw and the Inquisitor out there, but we're seeing pretty consistent representation from a lot of these other popular pilots.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many ways you can pair all these ships together. We definitely can't hit all of them.
So we do need to talk a little bit about some of the Imperial-only upgrade card options that we have.
Yeah, really right now there's three powerful Imperial-only upgrade cards that we're seeing in a lot of different lists. We have, of course, that lightweight frame card, which boosts the defense on a lot of Imperial TIE fighters. Defense is real important.
Yeah, lightweight frame is really important for ships like Quickdraw who need a little bit of a defensive boost to compensate for that inherent 2 defense dice natively. This is also a valuable asset, though, on ships like Countdown. We also have, of course, the Kylo Ren crew card, which is a great way to deal out the I'll show you the dark side condition. We see this most commonly on ships like Rear Admiral Chirinow, who's got that crew slot there and is going to be able to deal out some crits pretty consistently with his pilot ability. But I've also seen some Kylo Rens out there just being carried around on some TIE shuttle bombers, just being able to use that really powerful condition to start dealing out those really devastating pilot crits.
Yeah, we spent like half an episode talking about the Kylo Ren card just a few weeks ago in our combat control episode, so check that out if you're curious for more. That other upgrade card the Imperials are bringing is, of course, Emperor Palpatine. Just so good. Despite errata, still such a powerful force. Just makes your Imperial lists, which are rolling so many dice, just less volatile, which is so good.
Yeah, I mean, Emperor Palpatine's been a staple of the Imperial faction since its release in the Raider way back in the day. And even after an errata where now you have to declare your use before you roll your dice, it really still helps add a lot of consistency to a lot of these dice-dependent Imperial ships.
Being able to guarantee a critical result on an attack is a really great way to trigger those harpooned or I'll show you the dark side conditions.
Yeah, we're actually in an era where I've never seen Emperor Palpatine's ability used more aggressively than it has been since the release of Harpooned and I'll Show You the Dark Side.
Yeah, so not too many really powerful Imperial upgrade cards, but those three are all pretty great. And you can almost maybe think of Harpoon missiles as kind of a fourth honorable Imperial-only upgrade card, because it just feels like that faction probably utilizes them the best.
All right, so to close out our discussion of the Imperial faction here and what they're bringing to the 2018 World Championship, we're going to take a quick look here at a lot of the popular Imperial list archetypes, which actually we've kind of broken down into two main categories.
Yeah, in my head, when I think of winning Imperial lists, there's two main factors, and they either have one or maybe both of these factors. Factor one, of course, is the quick draw factor. That ship just shows up across quite a variety of lists, and I think really makes them all click.
Yeah, we talked about quick draw. At the core of quick draw, we've got that really high spike damage, and it can fit into a lot of different lists thanks to the decent amount of flexibility in its total point cost. Either you got, you know, the mid 30 point range all the way up to the mid 40 point range. You can load them out a lot of different ways. We see quick draw in a lot of builds combined with Lambda class shuttles, either an Omicron group pilot or a Captain Yor, either of which would use Emperor Palpatine to kind of reduce the volatility of your Imperial ships.
Yeah, so it's a pretty standard build we see is Captain Yor, quick draw, and then another ace, probably either the Inquisitor or Omega Leader.
Depending on how many points you're investing in that Lambda class and quick draw.
We also see quick draw paired pretty commonly with two or three Alpha class Star Wings.
Yeah, pretty common build is a, you know, quick draw with just most of the essential upgrade cards combined with, you know, even up to three of those 22-point harpoon-carrying new squadrons.
Or the tried-and-true triple Imperial ace builds with quick draw, probably the Inquisitor, and perhaps even a TIE Defender in there.
Yeah, and this is more or less the variant I've been using. I've been enjoying quick draw with the Inquisitor and then a 22-point harpoon-carrying new squadron. But there's a lot of different ways you can load this out. There are so many great Imperial ace options that come in at similar point values, so you can kind of swap to your style what you want to combine with your quick draw. I think, though, the common factor being that in almost every variant of Imperial Aces nowadays, you are going to see a quick draw in there.
And if you don't have a quick draw, there is probably a Kylo Ren character somewhere in your list.
Yeah, either in the pilot variant or in the crew card variant. This is our other main category here, the Kylo builds.
Yeah, so that Kylo crew, you're most commonly going to be seen on the Decimator, that Rear Admiral Churnu pilot, paired with some other ace, maybe a quick draw, maybe the Inquisitor or Darth Vader, but I think more commonly you see the Inquisitor or quick draw there.
And I would definitely put the Rear Admiral Chirinau with an ace builds on the higher skill threshold there, because there is a lot of room for error there if you do screw up and don't deal out the conditions right when you intend to, or if you're flying Rear Admiral Chirinau with a accompaniment like the Inquisitor. If that Inquisitor goes down prematurely, then you're going to have a hard time climbing back with that zero agility Rear Admiral Chirinau.
I don't know, Tim. It's hard to mess up when your opponent has a blinded pilot.
Well, as long as you can get that blinded pilot out, I guess, yeah.
Now, we also see the Kylo Ren TIE Silencer paired with a lot of different ships.
One of the popular builds we see is a decently expensive Kylo Ren with a cheaper quick draw and then a countdown. You have pretty strong damage output, and of course you got two pilot skill nines there minimally, so you're going to be on the higher end of the pilot skill threshold.
Yeah, we've also seen Kylo Ren and two Alpha class Star Wings, so you have kind of more of the cheaper version of the Star Wings compared to the quick draw version, but you do get that very good point fortress. Kylo Ren gets to hold on to those points and just dance all around the battlefield.
The main thing you're looking for if you're running that Kylo Ren pilot in the TIE Silencer is you're probably going to need a pretty good initiative bid so you can beat out other pilot skill 9 ships. And you're also going to want to have some answer to ships that do beat you out on pilot skill. So you're going to take those higher pilot skill ships off the board pretty quickly, which if you use something like two Alpha class Star Wings with some harpoon missiles, that's a pretty good option there to try and deal with those most troublesome threats. All right, so we've taken a look at the popular Imperial ships here. We looked a little bit at some of the handful of really powerful Imperial-only upgrade cards, and then we looked at some of the most popular Imperial list archetypes. I think it's time we did some predictions for what we're expecting to do well specifically at the 2018 World Championship.
All right, Tim, the big question, how many Imperial lists are making it into the top 16 cut? I know two of my slots are already dedicated to Scum and Villainy, so that leaves 14 slots for Rebels and Imperials.
Yeah, we were both guessing pretty low on the Scum and Villainy representation. I honestly think we'll actually get a pretty decent representation from Imperials. I think they have got a lot of strong factors going on. They're probably not the faction at the forefront here. I think that honor is reserved to Rebels right now. They just have so many powerful synergies going on. But honestly, I think we'll get at least 5, probably closer to 6 or 7 lists in that top 16. I think really we'll see about half of the top 16 comprised of mostly Imperial with a couple Scum, and then the other half is going to be all Rebels.
Yeah, I'm thinking somewhere between 6 and 5 Imperial lists make the cut. Now, the more interesting thing is perhaps what ships are going to make it the farthest. For me, my eyes are on that Kylo Ren TIE silencer and the Inquisitor. This is Worlds, so to make it into the top 16 and make it deep into the top 16, you're going to be playing the best players in the world, and you need ships where you can leverage that skill advantage. Ships like the Inquisitor and Kylo Ren, you can outposition your opponent, and I think we're going to perhaps see some pretty remarkable plays from those ships at the World Championships.
Yeah, I would expect to see some representation, at least a little bit, from the really high skill list, like those Rear Admiral Chiranau plus Inquisitor builds. Take a lot of effort to do well, especially when you're playing, you know, 6, 7, 8 rounds in a day. I think we'll definitely see some representation from there. I also think probably on the quick draw side, we are going to see quick draw up there. Maybe not so much in those kind of stock quick draw builds of the 36-point quick draw with a couple of Alpha Class Star Wings. I think we'll see more probably from those Captain Yor quick draw and something else builds where you've got a little bit more reliability thanks to that Emperor Palpatine crew card, kind of filling in the gaps there for your more volatile defense roles.
All right. There's an Imperial list, the final table at Worlds, Tim. What ship is in it? Name one ship.
The Inquisitor, I gotta say. I feel like this is really the time for the Inquisitor to shine in spite of all the bombs out there. I think we're gonna have someone be able to take that pretty far along.
I think so too. The Inquisitor is also my pick there.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx and like our Facebook page. While you're there, you can also leave us a 5-star review on Facebook. We really appreciate seeing those. I'll be sure to like everyone I see, so feel free to throw a 5-star review up there.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast. Those iTunes reviews are really important for reaching a wider audience, and we appreciate everyone who's left one of those reviews.
This week, we have a 5-star review from Apple Sucks Wicked Hard, who left a review saying that the show was an incredible resource for any player looking to improve their game. Thanks, Apple Sucks Wicked Hard.
Yeah, thanks, Apple Sucks. Thank you for the review, and a huge thank you to everyone else who left us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and hopefully we'll see some of you at Worlds.